I'm from Lufkin, and I'm married. I got a husband, Steve, and a daughter, Sarah, who's 16, and she's a junior in high school. And my our son, William, is 22, and he's a senior at the University of Minnesota. My husband and my daughter have spent the last 2 days. We did an away game Friday night to Shenandoah. She's in the band, plays saxophone, and she's also in choir. So they got up after just a few hours sleep and went to White House for all region. So that when they came home, my daughter said, "Have mercy, Mom, have mercy. Do not wake me up Sunday morning." And I said, "Okay, but praying that there will be another day that we can come back together and worship, and I can bring them up here and let them see this beautiful, wonderful place and be with you." So they send their greetings to you from there. And I'm bivocational. I work at a children's advocacy center in Lufkin called Harold's House, and would love to share more with you about what that is. So that's just a little bit about me. We spent some time, some of us, in the narthex before the service, kind of doing that quick get to know each other question, and we got up to about around third grade there as we were telling our shared life histories. I'm also a military baby, was born overseas, and so we had some fun discussion on that. But those are some of the things that you ask each other when you're trying to get to know each other, and then you kind of get to the, what's your favorite thing? And those are good things to ask and to share yours, and then to say what are some likes and some dislikes. So here's something to know about me. Here's something I don't like. I don't like ladders. I just don't like ladders. I don't particularly enjoy climbing up a rickety thing to do physical labor on something with which I may fall off of and break a bone. That does not excite me. I am not drawn to that. I have an uncle who has to fall off of every ladder he gets on. And anytime my husband goes up to work on our old roof, I nearly need medication because it's just, it stresses me out. And so there's a lot of thought about ladders in our readings today. And there's a thing about ladders. There's a saying that, the right tool for the right job. But you ever notice how you don't often seem to have just the right ladder for the job you're doing? It's too short or it's too big and tall. And so I've had a lot of time in my life when I'm kind of straining for a light bulb, and I'm a tall person, but I'm straining for the light bulb. We've got an old house with really high ceilings in Lufkin to paint the corners of something, but it is our kids' job on Christmas to get the angel on top of the tree. But I'll hold the ladder for you while you do that. So I don't like ladders. But in today's scripture, we hear about ladders. So this is your special day. As Jeff said, did I get that right? Yeah, okay. Forgive me if I have a senior moment. They are happening more and more often these days. But a special day. It is the feast day of St. Michael and all angels that we're observing today. And so the readings that you heard, they're different. They're a different piece of the Revised Common Lectionary than most Episcopal churches are hearing this morning in our diocese and all across the country. So you can, if you're going to talk about the readings of the day around the water cooler tomorrow with people from other places, yours is going to be a little different. Just heads up on that. And it's not because some weird radical priest from Lufkin came up and changed things around, but it's because you're celebrating your special day. And so as we heard in the readings, the story of Michael, and this is called another word for this day is Michaelmas, like Christmas, which is a short form of Christ's Mass, the Mass of Christ. This is the Mass of Michael. This is our offering to God in which we honor and celebrate St. Michael and all angels. So if you're like me and you're not a cradle Episcopalian, I'm not, but I got here as fast as I could, but I'm not a cradle Episcopalian, you might, be kind of wondering, so what's the big deal? What's the big deal about what is a saint day? Well, in the wider church, for all of us, the church calendar is just populated with saint days. There are lots and lots of them. And those are days for us to honor and remember and study and think about the lives of saints, the lives of holy people in the history of the Christian faith, and what the testimony of their lives has to say to us today, the things that we can learn by their example, by their sacrifice, by the way that they encountered things in their life and what they did. It's a day for us to celebrate and honor that and to reflect on it and to think about, you know, how is this a part of my life, this heritage of our faith? Because this is the spiritual genealogy of our faith, the lives of saints that are recorded. And all of us who are all saints in the Church of God, our stories become a part of that genealogy. And so in your particular church, when your saint day comes up, you get to move it and put it on the Sunday closest to you, long as we're not doing something else special that day like Easter or Christmas or one of the biggies. But so we moved it to this Sunday, and so we could celebrate it together as a birthday party. And so this is a day for all of us to reflect, and for you to reflect as a parish. You know, who is St. Michael? And who are St. Michael and all the angels? And what is it that, who they are and what they do, you know, is a part of the character and the charism of this place? How is that expressed? In ourselves as a body all together, in your personal piety, in your personal faith, how does that enter into my life? How does that become a part of your spiritual DNA and the spiritual DNA of this place? Well, y'all have something that not a lot of other people do. Your saints aren't folks in the human timeline who lived and did some interesting and amazing things and then died, and we recall their stories. Y'all saints are spiritual beings who are ongoing, angels, an archangel who continues to do the present work of God among us. And so that is really interesting and an unusual gift to you as a church, to hold intention and to think about what that means and how is that different for us. Because I think that's really, really an unusual thing to explore. And so as we move into the text, into the gospel, Nathanael and Philip are coming to Jesus, and Nathanael's encountering Jesus for the first time. And what we didn't hear in this reading right before this is when Philip goes and gets Nathanael. That's a little piece we didn't hear. He goes and he finds him, and he says, hey, we found him. The guy that Moses was talking about, the one, we have found him. It's Jesus from Nazareth, the next town over. It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's the son of Joseph. This is who it is. And then Nathanael says that iconic line, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It sounds like people in Lufkin and Longview talking about football with each other. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I know I was stepping in some hot water there for just a minute, you know? Gotta be careful here. But that's what it sounds like. Can anything good come out of it? He asks, kind of facetious, you know, but he says in answer to Nathanael's words, come and see. Come and see. And so they go to Christ, and even before they get to know each other, even before they get to ask, what do you like and what do you dislike, Christ just calls it out in him, and he says, here is an Israelite that has no sign of deceit in him. Here's a good man. He's coming, and he is a seeker, a true seeker. And Nathanael's blown away. How did you know? How did you know that? And Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree before Nathanael called you. And we don't know what was happening under that fig tree, but something in that blows Nathanael away. And we can think about it. We can guess. We can put ourselves in that place. You know, if Nathanael's an honest seeker, I have a feeling maybe that's where he gathered, you know, and talked with others about, where's the Messiah? Who is it? When's he coming? And maybe it was time that he spent alone saying, God, I am ready. Are you there? Do you exist? What's my part in this? What's my purpose? Maybe all those things. And so here's Jesus saying, I saw you. And here's Jesus saying to him who he is, because it's God who was there It was him and God that they were talking to. And so this is what he says. Oh my gosh, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus is like, okay, you figured that out because I saw you. You haven't seen anything yet. Just hold on. Keep following me. Keep following the gospel. Come with me in this mission. And you are going to see heaven and earth brought together. Heaven is going to open up, and the angels of God are going to be ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So there is Christ saying, I'm the Messiah. And watch out, because this is what's coming. Did they even really know what that was? I doubt if any of us could have really, really understood and foretold what that is, but I think they were getting the inkling. I think they were getting excited about it. This is Christ saying, I am here on a mission, and my mission is to reconcile you to God. All those questions you were asking under the fig tree, I am the answer. All those things Philip is searching for, I am the answer. I am here to set you free. Free from the questions. Free from questioning whether God exists. He doesn't say, don't question. He said, I'm just here to answer your questions. Free from pain, free from discouragement, free from anger, free from a lack of forgiveness, free from a need of forgiveness. Jesus comes and says to them, in me you are enough. You are finally enough. Christ uses the prophetic voice and says, you will see greater than these. Greater than these. And in that, he is evoking the Old Testament story. Jacob has his dream. He lays down in the land, and he has the dream where he sees heaven opened, and the angels of God are ascending and descending on a ladder. And God speaks to him in this dream, and he says, this is the place. I'm giving this to you. This is going to be your place and your family's place for generations. And this is where I will be with you. And when you wander from here, this is where I'll bring you back. Right here to this ladder. Right here to this place. And so Christ is saying here, God is with you. I am God. I am here with you. I am pledging myself to stay with you, and my Holy Spirit will be with you. And even though you may wander from me, this is where I will bring you back to. This is our place together. And there are words in the Old Testament that bring out in me a favorite song from that childhood, and that refrain, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. If you know it, I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. That's where the ladder meets the ground. That is where it meets the ground. In our Eucharist, in our tradition, we say we experience the real presence of God. And in a very classic Episcopal Anglican style, we say, I'm not sure how that works, but I know something's happening. And so I'm going to call it a holy mystery. Holy mystery. And you know, there's freedom in that. In the world where my first career was a journalist, and so facts and knowing stuff and the old school hunt it down, you know, back in the day, and it's not a commentary on any modern writing, but my gosh, don't put it on paper if you don't know it's true. Okay, anyway, I'll get off of that. But back in the day when we used to wear out our shoe leather on that, and we wish we had the internet to research stuff. The real presence. There's freedom in just knowing Christ is with us. We don't have to know how. We just know it is. We feel it. We feel the presence. We feel the brush of angels' wings. So we kneel and we receive the body and the blood of Christ. And in that moment, the boundaries of time and space go away. Because God is not bound by linear time. God can live outside that. That's quite a concept, and that I just haven't fully been able to totally embrace and understand. But think about it. We live in linear time. That's something our minds can handle. But God is and was and always shall be. And so when we enter the real presence here, we are in the presence of throngs of angels moving up and down the ladder, worshiping and serving around the throne of God, our loved ones, the holy saints who have gone on before, and the boundaries between all that go away. And it is the kingdom of God, and we are part of that feast around the table that never ends. And one day, that is what we will all live in together, in the real presence with hosts of angels. And so this holy space that we have here, where we're here at the bottom of the ladder, is beautiful. But it's not made for us to stay in. We are to go out into the world to find where the ladders of God exist. That's where we're called to. We're called to find out where the angels of God, these messengers, these angelic servants of the Lord from his throne, where are they being sent to? Where is the Holy Spirit acting? Where is heaven and earth becoming indiscernible from each other? In the Celtic tradition, they call that the thin places. Where do we experience God so closely? It's like there's no division between here and heaven. So we're called out to find the ladder. And here's something that makes me feel really good. God doesn't ask us to climb up the ladder. Yes. I don't have to climb the ladder, because that's the angels' work, ascending and descending from the throne of God. But God says, go find them. Stand there on that ground. So our work is to call out the ladders, to find them, to name them, to stand by them and hold on to them so that other people can encounter the holy presence right there in their lives. We're called to that battle like the archangel Michael and the angels, into the spiritual fight to stand up in testimony to justice in the places of the world where it doesn't exist or people are fighting for it. We aren't called to climb up the ladder. We're called to stand there and witness to it, to stand there and say, this is where God meets us. This is where he meets all of us in all conditions. Nathanael came with a heart that was seeking, and that had no deceit. But people come to Christ, and people encounter Christ in all different conditions, in all different conditions of heart and mind and body. And Jesus reminds us of that in all of those who naturally were drawn to him. Did you notice all throughout Scripture those who gather around him? Those who are most comfortable, those who he is most comfortable with. These are the people to find our way to and to say, here's the ladder. To stand up against those voices in the world who say, you're not enough, or they're not enough. You're not the right color. You're not born in the right country. You don't look the right way. You don't live in the right neighborhood. You don't have the right number in your bank account. You're not related to the right people. You don't love the right person. You don't worship the right way. No, we are called to stand and say, we are enough in Jesus Christ. All of us gather at the ladder. That is our call. And Christ says, go out into the world. And I would say to you, yes, we are called to save and to bring the message to the world in Christ. But some days that feels overwhelming, doesn't it? I've got to go save the world. So narrow it down. Narrow it down to a ladder, a place, a person, a one. Give the message to someone. Use your Holy Spirit guided vision to look for the one who's the next person that Christ is calling you to talk to. Who's the next person that Christ is calling you to be present to? Who's the next person, the one that Christ is calling you to be loving and accepting of? Who's the next person Christ is calling you to go ask forgiveness of? As we gather around the ladder, and we can hear Jesus say, tell them that they are enough in me, and tell them to come and see. Amen.